Open your Bibles, Deuteronomy chapter 32. And I'll give you something from the Bible here that hopefully will help. It's like normal, it's helped me. And so the preacher or the teacher normally is the first one that God deals with on these things. And I was in line for this one. Let me pray and we'll see if we can get God to help with this. And hopefully it'll be a blessing to us. Father, I just thank you for the day, and I do pray for Pastor in the last night of the meeting. I do pray for the Dunbars and their desire to do your work in Brazil, and I just pray that now that we're invested in that, Father, that they are easily going to be able to get down there and get set up, and most importantly, get to work doing what you want them to do. And Father, we just we praise you for it, that we're able to do these kind of things. There are a lot of churches, Lord, that we know that have to have special meetings to pay the electric bill. But you have abundantly blessed this church and continue to do it, and we are so thankful, and we do not take that for granted. We thank you so much for that. I do pray for tonight, this Bible lesson, Lord, that that you'd use it. There's scripture, there's your words, there's your examples, and Father, I just pray that somehow this will be a blessing to all of us, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy 32, look in verse 7. The Bible says, "Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel." We're going to look tonight about boundaries. Right there, that verse says that we've got a Lord or God that divides, he separates, and he sets the bounds. He sets boundaries. We all, believe it or not, need boundaries. The absolute worst thing that God could do to any one of us is just take his hands off and set no boundaries, set no corrections, set no limitations on you. And between you and your flesh and the devil, you would be in trouble. And so the best thing that we have is the boundaries that the Lord has set us against. Now, that's spiritually. That's your Bible. You know, just practically, how many of y'all actually have locks on your doors and windows at home? Sure, you know, that's a boundary. It's supposed to, like, keep the bad guys out, you know. We constantly, how many of y'all have a car in the parking lot and you've locked the doors? Yeah, you set a boundary. You really, how many of y'all would really like somebody to ravage through your car right now while you're in here? You know, we go through life and we set boundaries for several reasons. And one of them is stability, one of them is separation, and one of them is security. And we're going to look at those things, and we're going to look at some verses to see how God has set up boundaries to help us with those things, and maybe look at some examples of how we can set up boundaries to help ourselves. But boundaries are good. They're real good. They're necessary. So let's just look at the Bible and look at some things. The first thing we want to look at as a benefit of a boundary is they provide stability. Provide stability. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 14 and 15, but the context is that the Lord, through his death, burial, and resurrection, he provided gifts. And there's some, in verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting the saints and for the work of the ministry and the edifying the body of Christ. In verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking truth in love, and may grow up into him all things which is the head, even Christ. You know, boundaries provide stability, especially like here where it says in doctrine, because without boundaries, we can be and were children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. What you have in your lap, if you have a King James Bible, is the set of boundaries. I mean, it's the complete set. It's the, any of y'all remember encyclopedias? They're like buggy whips. They're gone with the past. But used to encyclopedias, you know, you needed the complete set so that you could make sure you could find something for a book report or a report at school. Now you just need Google and you can do it all. But your King James Bible is a boundary that God has given you. He's given it to you in writing so that whenever there's a question about any kind of limitation or any kind of liberty that you have, and you have both, that this is where you can come and get the truth, and you can find what God's boundary on that is. Okay, it provides and it makes us stable. Look at James talks about us not being stable, and boundaries give us that stability that we need in life. James chapter 1. We all know verse 5, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. So you get your wisdom from asking God, coming to this book for answers. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea tossed with the wind, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall reap anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God has given us this authority, this King James Bible. And if you choose, and it's a choice, if you choose to believe that this is your one authority, this is your one boundary, this is the book of rules that we're going to live by, I've made that personal decision for myself and my family that this is the boundaries. And if it's not within this book, I don't want any of it. And if it goes outside this book, I don't want any of it. And that makes me, as far as the world's concerned, that makes me single-minded. And boy, that's a dirty word when somebody says you're just single-minded. But I'm very single-minded about this. If you become double-minded or you allow yourself to be double-minded, then you have more than one authority. We call that dual authority. And dual authority it's spoken against in here. If you want, no man can serve two masters, that's dual authority. And so I get my stability and you will get your stability in life. You'll live a stable life. If you believe this book as being your authority and you trust in it and it alone, you got that? Turn to 1 Peter. You're in James. Flip over to 1 Peter. That's the closest one to run to. 1 Peter chapter 5. Talking about boundaries and how they give us stability. 1 Peter chapter 5, look in verse 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, look at this, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Okay, so the God of all grace, who called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, what he's provided us through this book and through this single authority is he's going to make us perfect. He's going to establish us, strengthen us, and settle us. That's that settled thing. That's that stability. But the part we don't like in this verse is it said right there in the middle, after that ye have suffered a while. How many of y'all want to do that step? But, you know, when you think about that, in practical terms, I personally have locks on my doors at home because people have actually broke into my house and stolen things. I have made sure my truck is locked because I took it to Sam's one day and somebody helped themselves to the inside of it that day. Because of after I have suffered a while, boundaries mean a lot more to me. Does that make sense? And so What you can do tonight is really ask the Lord to, you know, show me some of this boundary stuff. Show me how important this authority is in my life. Show me that what boundaries I ought to be setting up in my house or at my work or in my life so that I don't have to suffer before I realize what I should have had. You get the connection there? You can, it's like the old commercial on TV. You can pay me now or pay me later. And so you may as well learn a lesson that's free or pay full retail for it. And boundaries are that way. Some of them we learn real easily. It's just kind of a natural thing nowadays to lock your doors. But some we learn real hard that maybe locking my doors wasn't enough. I needed a pit bull and a security system and all those, you know, so you learn by suffering some of these things that will help you. Turn to Isaiah 28. This being settled, this stability. It's really, if you can find a way to be stable and be stable because of the words of God, be stable because of what this book and God's boundaries give you, it's a great way to live or try to live the Christian life. Isaiah 28, look in verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, talking about stability, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Who do you think that foundation is? That's Jesus Christ. You can cross-reference that with 1 Corinthians 3:11. There's no greater foundation laid than that that a man can lay than Jesus Christ. So we've got all the access right here in this church, all the knowledge, all the truth, everything it takes to have a stable life because of the boundaries that God has set up just through this Bible and through the things that we have. The other thing that boundaries give us besides stability is separation. Turn to 2 Corinthians. A boundary, a fence between you and your unruly neighbor give you some separation, okay? I've got a neighbor next door to me that their driveway is, it couldn't be more than 15 feet from my master bedroom, okay? And there's no fence there. It's just my window, their driveway, and some grass in between, okay? Their high school senior daughter last year he had 4 different boyfriends because we got to hear every one of them personally. One of them drove a real nice Camaro. One of them drove one of those real nice Mustangs. She's got good boyfriends. And had one guy drove a Raptor, Ford Raptor, and the other guy, the last guy drove a Corvette. Okay? And for some reason, every one of them wants to sit in the driveway and leave it idling. The worst one of all was the Mustang. He must have took that nice car and took it down there and had them take off the mufflers and put on, you know, some kind of other glass packs or something. But and we truly had to, and we had no separation there to be able to enjoy that. That was free. That wasn't even part of the deal. I'm still mad about it. But she did graduate, and she's off at college, so it's real quiet this year. So that's good. That's good. Separation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is where I wanted to go. You know the verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses. Do I know the verse is the question. 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteous, and what communion has light with darkness, and what concord has Christ with Belial, or what path has he that believeth with, what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of living God. As God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. God has set up some boundaries, and boundaries are good for us to separate ourselves from the world and the flesh and the devil. Okay? This being here right now in this church on a Wednesday night provides a little bit of separation from you and the world. You know, we've mentioned before when Bobby's come in a while back, you know, I don't know, a year or so ago, I mentioned the fact that you come in here from the world and you got it all over you. It's in your head and everything else. And we sing these hymns and start this service so that you can kind of start shaking some of that off and kind of get separated again from the world so that you can receive the words of God. So there's boundaries give you some kind of separation, you know. My home is a real boundary for me. It's my haven. It's my fortress. It's a place where I can separate myself basically from the world, except for teenage girls next door, and Nabal lives on the other side of me. But other than that, we're pretty separated. It sets boundaries, and what we need to do as Christians and as parents and as is we need to make sure that we not only protect our personal boundary, but we protect the ones that we love, our family's boundaries. And, you know, that means actually, parents, that means actually sticking your nose in your kids' business so that that you can make sure that they've got the right boundaries to separate them from the world. The blessing is that we've got a parent, Father, God, the Almighty, that, you know, loved us enough that through this salvation thing that we all enjoy, he's provided us a way to have a separation from our soul and our sin. Turn to Colossians. See, God provides all of these means for boundaries. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Talks about a circumcision made without hands. When you get saved, you are circumcised by the Spirit of God, and your soul, which is affected by sin, is now separated from your flesh. And so the sin that actually affects your flesh does not affect your soul. Thus is the separation in salvation. Verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. It's an operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. So the Lord, through salvation, actually gave us a way to have some separation from our sins. But that's still, we have that, and that helps us eternally, not be affected by sin anymore eternally. But we are surely affected by sin in this mortal body. And, so separation from that is something that we gotta kinda take the lead on that, and I hate to keep bringing up the diet, but it's like one of the most vivid, illustrations in my life. You know, my flesh still likes to eat. You can ask Milton. When we go out on Tuesdays, my flesh still likes French fries. It likes ice cream. It wants every bit of that stuff. And what I have to do is provide a separation from that stuff. You know, I don't hang out at Dairy Queen, okay? Or the blizzards will get me. You know, the flesh will win. And so it's the same thing. The boundaries provide separation. Look at this. They provide security too. Job chapter 1. Satan's talking to the Lord here in verse 10. Job chapter 1 verse 10. And he says, "Has not thou made a hedge about him? About his house and about all that he has on every side, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." God actually put a hedge around Job and protected him, and Satan didn't like that a bit. I would love to know that the Lord has got a big old hedge built around me. And that boundary is there, and what it provides is simple. The first one was stability, the second one is separation. This one's security. This is protection. And there's not a one of us that doesn't need God's boundaries to stay in God's boundaries so that you stay in his protection. I've used the illustration a lot with the College and Career and Young Families. I don't know which insurance company it is. I think it's Travelers has the umbrella. Yeah. And And when I was in business, I actually bought insurance. I brought an umbrella policy of insurance. It covers everything. So I've got all the issues covered on my insurance. But as long as you stay inside God's parameters, his boundaries, then you're under God's protection. But when you step out and you get outside of those boundaries that he's already set, you're open. You're an open shot. You're a dead duck. You know, it's not good. But God provides these things. Look in Psalm. You're in Job. Just flip over to Psalm 71. Psalm 71 and verse 3. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Man, when you think about, and I myself, when the Lord actually shows you how much he protected you, when you didn't realize it, or you didn't acknowledge it, or you didn't know it, or maybe you even did, one day you're going to get to see what God has actually done for you in your life. And a lot of us that are losing hair and waking up with different parts of your body hurting every day, a lot of us have enough life behind us that we can actually see now where God's hand was in things that when we were there, we couldn't see it. But you can look back and see how God had his hand of protection around you. And that was a boundary that he had set. And that boundary was able to be used by God, because when he went to put his hands around you, you were in here. You weren't out there. You know, so that is really important to focus your life and to try to stay within the boundaries that God has given us. He's put them in print. So I said all, that's my introduction. Okay? This stuff is spreading through. This BW is doing it now. I'm doing it. We're all into long introductions. Now, what I want you to do, turn to Matthew chapter 5. I want to get some practical stuff here if I can. And Matthew chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 43. And first of all, my disclaimer, I am aware that Matthew chapter 5 is the Sermon on the Mount. I am aware that the Lord Jesus Christ here is talking to Jews. I am aware here that this is the constitution of the millennial reign. I'm aware of all the doctrine, okay? So I'm not up here intentionally preaching false doctrine. Well, I'm not even unintentionally preaching. I'm just telling you, I know what this is. But there's applications that can be made from these passages that can help us, spiritual applications. Look at Matthew 5, 43 through 48. The Lord said, ye have heard that has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despisefully use you and persecute you. Now everyone in here agrees that, man, I really like this passage in the millennial reign for the Jews and not for me, right? How many of y'all can really love your enemies and bless those that curse you and do good to them that hate you and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you? I don't see any hands in the crowd. Verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth his rain on the just and the unjust. You know, we got a God that kind of loves everybody, okay? Verse 46, for if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Have you thought about that? In Luke, I was reading it earlier today. You know, just because you, even wicked people, they love their kids. And they love their friends. And there's wicked people that actually love their mother and father. You know, it's not a big deal. But if you can love your enemies, now that's a big deal. Okay? 47, and if you salute your brethren only, what do ye do more than others? Do not even the publicans also?
That means if the publicans, all they do is be nice to other publicans, it's kind of like us being Christians and we're only nice to the people in our church. You see what he's trying to say? 48, be therefore perfect. We hit that perfect thing back in a passage earlier. That's one of those things. Be perfect. You get established. You do these boundaries and things. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So if you look at that verse, I want to break that down a little bit and just see some things here. A little bit of this is about enemies, but a lot of this is about just the folks in the church, your neighbors, your neighbors. Believe it or not, y'all are all neighbors. Okay? We're all neighbors in here. But let's look at this thing. It says there in the first part, it says, thou shalt love thy neighbor. Okay? We're going to keep coming back here, so I want you to go to Leviticus 19, verse 18, and we'll come back to this in a second. Love thy neighbor. Leviticus, what did I say? 19:18, yep. Leviticus 19:18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. I know that's Old Testament. I know that's in Leviticus. It's part of the Levitical law. But do you think God's changed his mind about any of that? I really don't. I think he thinks that we ought to not avenge nor bear any grudge. You know, I was reading this stuff and it's really killing me today. I hope it's killing you. Okay? So, yeah, we're not supposed to hold a grudge. We're not to avenge. We're supposed to actually love our neighbor as thyself. Isn't that something? Okay, we'll go back to Matthew. I'm not even going to take you to the verse in Deuteronomy that shows you how to hate your enemy. Y'all don't need any help with that. I didn't need any help with it. But look at the verse that says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Turn to John. We're going to keep coming back here. So turn to John chapter 15, I think. John 13. Now, John 13 is not in the Constitution of the Millennial. John 13 is far enough in John. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to us. Okay? Look at John 13, verse 34. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one another. Now, in the context, we're not going to go back and look at it, but the context of this verse, back in verse 27, and after the sop, Satan entered into him, and then Jesus said to him, thou that doest, what thou doest, do thou quickly. We're talking about Judas betraying him. That's in the context of what he's talking about here. Did they have an enemy at that point? Did he have an enemy at that point? He had Judas was an enemy at that point. And in the same context, he's telling them, okay, I'll tell you what now. I got this new commandment I give you. I want you to love one another as I have loved you. That's, you know, forget that love thy neighbor and love or love thy enemy. It's hard enough for me just to love my neighbor. I don't know about y'all. But it takes work to love my neighbor. And he says that we ought to love him with the same love that he's loved us. That's a tall feat for each one of us to love each other as Christ loved us. We should at least, you know, as far as the folks in the church, we ought to at least love each other as brothers and sisters. I mean, like secular, like, you know, have fights, you know, tell mom on each other, that kind of stuff. You know, we ought at least be there. This is a tall order to love each other as Christ has loved you. Look at Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, verse 17. Solomon said here, he said, rejoice not when thy enemy falleth. Let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it and it displease him and he turn away his wrath from him. Now, I know there's nobody in here that's ever had an enemy, and when you saw him get it, that you were real sad about it. And no, the normal human response is, he got what was coming to him, you know, and I'm glad God got him. And even I've heard it in this church, you know, somebody has done, you know, they've done something that they've done wrong, and now they're getting the chastening of the Lord or the chastening of the police department, and it pleases us that they're getting caught. Well, you know what Solomon's trying to say here is, you know, we ought not to be like that. Okay? He said there's a boundary here. There's a boundary here that we ought to, if God, you know, see, God, Pastor did that deal on what seemeth good to him. If God decides he's going to let somebody get away with something, then that's great. And I hope he picks me next. Okay? But if he decides he's going to chastise someone or correct someone, when you start getting the giggle bumps out of it, or you the high-fiving people and all this because you see it happen, God sees that and he says, nah, I'm going to let him get by with it some more. You know, what it actually does, it interferes with God's will on the chastening of somebody. And so, truly, there's a boundary there where we ought to make this a boundary in our life, and it's a boundary in this book. Revenge is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. God takes care. God settles the debts. God settles the scores. And I know in my life I've had things happen to me, and I feel like I'm owed something and somebody else has done me wrong and yanny, 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 yanny. The boundary there is God will take care of that. God will take care of that. I'm going to use Rick Sal's dad as an example of this. We were at pastor school, bunch, you know, 150 pastors, and the subject came up and it comes up in the ministry a lot, where, you know, a pastor is being accused of something from somebody else or some other place, and there's this accusation. And his dad stood in the pulpit and said, you know, it's not my job to defend those kind of things. If the Lord God wants me in this pulpit, he'll take care of it. And if he decides I don't need to be in this pulpit, he won't. You see, he's leaving those things up to God to make the decision on, because it's God's deal. There's boundaries in that kind of stuff. Back in Matthew chapter 5, you don't need to turn there if you don't want to. The next part of that deal said, bless them that curse you. How many of y'all love that stuff? Huh? No, I didn't say curse them that curse you. I said bless them that curse you. Yeah, bless them that curse you. Well, what do you think that could mean? Turn to 1 Peter. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Bless them that curse you. 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's pick it up in verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful and courteous. Look at this. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. You know what blessing them that curse you means? You don't return it tit for tat. If somebody is cursing, there's no such thing as, you know, he asked for it. I've said that. I'm going to go ahead and admit it. I've said that before. You know, da 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 da. Well, he asked for it. Okay? Or you know, he had it coming. No, he didn't. If you're going to have a boundary like God has set up his boundaries, the boundary is he can curse me, but I'm not cursing back. Okay? Did the Lord show any kind of example of this when he went through the trial and crucifixion? He said not a word. I mean, they did everything in the world to him, and he returned none of it. Okay? That's blessing them that curse you. Bless them that curse you. The next part of that verse said, do good to them that hate you. This is some hard stuff. Do good to them that hate you. Turn to Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25, look in verse 21. The Bible says, if thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. And look at this. And the Lord shall reward thee. The Lord shall reward thee. You know what? I thought a lot about that scripture. And some things came to mind, and I don't know if they're really enemies or what, but here's the thought. I have actually driven by the panhandlers on the corner, and there's some that are regulars, and there's some, and it's really between you and God and prayer to find out who's actually in need on the corner and who is in business on the corner. Okay? And these folks, they prove this verse. They prove it. Because they, if you stop and you only give them, if they're hungry, bread to eat, or if they're thirsty, you give them water to drink. You know what? It's as if you poured heaps of coals of fire on their head. Have you ever tried that? Where you tell the person that if you need a meal, let's go and I'll buy you a meal. And they get angry about that. It's as if you put hot coals on their head. They didn't want that. Okay? What they wanted was money. But what it's the boundary here is to give them just the things they need. So many times it makes us feel better we flip them a dollar bill or a $5 bill. And we're not helping them at all. We're enabling them to do the wrong thing with the money and to feed a drug habit or an alcohol habit or any other kind of sin that they may have. The Bible says if they're hungry, give them bread to eat. And if they're thirsty, give them water to drink. Now, let's carry it a little bit further. How many of y'all have relatives or friends that, through foolishness, ignorance, lack of experience, have got themselves in huge financial binds and have come to you for help? Now, if you have boundaries, right then is a good time to have them. Okay. My experience with that is exactly the same as the panhandlers. If they come to you, I've had friends and family come to me. I need money because I need to make my car payment. But that's the symptom. The symptom is, where did you spend your car payment? Is the question. And the answer is never given to you properly. But the car payment was spent on something else. But what they want is they want the car payment covered. What you need to do is go buy them some groceries. But try that and see how much it feels like you're putting coals on their head. Do you see? You act like this has never come across, but it's true. Having boundaries is very, very important in these things because they protect you. They give you stability. They give you security. They give you separation. But they also, you don't empower somebody else to be hurt or to get worse off. Okay? Let me just show you one other thing. I know y'all are just hating this, so we'll look at another deal here. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. If you love that, you're really going to love this one. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. The Bible says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in thy power, in the power of thy hand to do it. And I don't know how many years I read that verse and didn't see the middle of it. The middle of that verse, it says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in thy power or thy hand to do it. I just took the to whom it is due. I just kind of read past that real quick. But those words are in there for a reason. The reason is it's okay to withhold good from some people if it's not due them. Okay? Well, this is hard preaching. Y'all are not liking it. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, okay? The Bible says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. Okay? We'll leave it there. Boy, that's bad. Let's look at one more. It says to pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Okay? So y'all need to pray for me because it seems like that's what I'm doing to you now. Turn to 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 2, you know the verse, 1 through 6. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. And the closest I think that we as Christians right now are is sometime in the near future our government may be that entity that I know that right now there's plenty of case for them to be despitefully using us, you know, as far as is that. But the point to make here, and then we'll stop, is that we're to pray. The Bible says to pray for them. To pray for them, not to pray against them. The Bible says to pray for them. And that's all it says. It doesn't say that we need to join forces and have our own Bible Believers Baptist Church political coalition and send a representative to the state house and to the it doesn't say any of that. Paul is just exhorting us, therefore, that we pray for all men and pray for those in authority for one simple reason, and it's right there in the verse, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Boy, that covers that protection, that boundary thing that God has set up for us. So all we're supposed to do in those cases is pray for those people. Pray that they'll make decisions that will allow us to live that quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. And that's that boundaries. That's a set of boundaries that God has set up for us. That's where I want to stay. So truly, God is the one that sets up all these boundaries. And we have the free will. We have the ability to stay in them or stay out of them, to choose them or to refuse them. We have those choices. And it's clear, and it should be clear, that if you stay in the choices that God has laid out, His boundaries, then that's where the protection is. That's where the blessings are. That's where all the things that are going to give you stability, going to give you separation from the world and the flesh and devil, going to give you security and keep you protected. They're all within God's boundaries. And so the choice is, do we stay in God's boundaries or do we just kind of create our own or run out here and there? We've had young folks in the church that decide the boundaries that their parents had set and the boundaries that the church had set are not making them happy. And so they've jetted off outside the boundaries. And we have them on prayer list every Wednesday night, and we pray for them during the week that they'll figure it out and they'll get back in the boundaries, and they'll come back with a few scars as possible. And so my prayer tonight is somehow that all of us can find a place to put boundaries down. I mentioned just a few. This Bible is just full of all kinds of boundaries that God says that we should have, that we should practice, that we should keep. And I pray that somehow that will help. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to do a lesson tonight, and I pray that, I thank you first that you've given us boundaries, and that they're good boundaries, and that they're boundaries we can all live within. And that I know in my life, the more I stay inside of them, the safer I am, the happier I am, and the more I love you because of them. And I sure do thank you for them, Lord, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.